into, if there is Bibles back there, if you want to follow along, helping me out. Not yet, but it's there. It's any second now. There it is. Cassia. I think we're good, right? Awesome.
Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority.
Superfluous. Why do you think I was using big words? I never use big words. It means unnecessary, right?
Did you use that word earlier?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I'm
so proud of you.
Thank you. Now, the first five. Of the saints. No? It's okay if you don't. I will. That's why I'm here. I'll jump in.
Paul was like, hey, Corinthians, these people need help. Can you help? And they're like, yeah. But then there was a stalling. And the money didn't come, and they were like, hey, is Paul taking the money? And then he was like, no.
Oh, geez. Saints. They didn't have halos and walk around on water and everything like that. Yeah, they weren't glowing, but they're still believers, right? And it was superfluous, which means
unnecessary,
exceedingly unnecessary. It was unnecessary for Paul to bug them. Can you read that? All right, let's change it first. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 3 through 5. Sorry.
There you go. I have sinned, brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore I...
Next slide.
Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation.
Alright. So, how long?
A long time.
Maybe one of these cycles.
One year.
Right, it's been a year, the Corinthians have not finished, and maybe even hasn't even started the collection yet. You know, their fundraiser. So Paul, he's sending Titus and a brother or two to help them out with this, right? Paul's worried that they'll never get done. Now, Paul, Corinthians were going to be a part of this. If it doesn't happen, both Paul, right? Now this, anybody else? No? Or you get where he's coming from?
It's kind of hard to tell him because the words are vague and it's proper, so I can't tell what his tone is.
Right? It's kind of hard. Yeah. It is. Now, questioning people's motivation is not always a bad thing. Discernment is a good thing. But being defensive about everything is definitely not a good thing. I know it's kind of confusing. There's fine lines there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Jalen, can you read?
Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
So it's talking about meditating, thinking about the good things, looking at the good things. We know Paul. People, right? He wants to teach people. Sometimes we need to look at the best in people, right? You know, still stranger danger, very much still stranger danger. You go on a hike, stranger danger, you can smile, but we know, right? From his writings, we know Paul, and he has proven himself to us. Right? Our attitude should not be so quick to judge, but pay time to look at all, to digest it. Now, so what do we know so far? What information have we got in chapter 9? Yes?
I don't
know. You don't know? Jeff? Ella? Cassia?
He's like saying, like, okay, I like already told you how to do this, and I don't want to like be annoying and bug you about it. but you're taking a long time. Right. This needs to get done.
So they're procrastinating, right? So we know information. Corinthians are procrastinating. What are they procrastinating about?
Giving aid to the people who have a fan.
Okay, so they had aid to people, and did they were they like, I don't want to give aid, or were they?
They were super excited about it.
They were super excited, right? So what I would say is they kind of probably. We're going to do this. So that's kind of a promise that we're going to do this. And they haven't kept it yet. They haven't kept their promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 21 through 23.
I have a thing.
You what?
I don't know if like you should like word it as like a promise, but like people should like keep to their word.
Right.
Because, like, I don't know if they, like, promised or, like, did, like, an oath or whatever, but, like, if you say you're going to do something, then you should do it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. It doesn't really say it does. I don't know. Saying, I'm going to do this. And back then, especially, you are supposed to keep your word, and your word is your promise, if you will. I'm sure it wasn't on a contract. They didn't write stuff down, and sign it, notarize it, and everything. But so it was basically a promise. Deuteronomy chapter 23, 21 through 23.
But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be a sin to you. That which has gone from your lips you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth.
Alright, so, and like we were saying, because who's around us all the time? Right? So if we're saying something, in a sense, we're vowing before God, right? Because he's there. And that's why, it would be better not to promise God if you're not going to keep it. It'd be better not to just say, I'm going to do it, if you know down deep in your heart you're not going to do it. Because we should be keepers of our word. Maybe Paul was looking out for the best interests of the Corinthians, right? Because he knows what they said they were going to do. He's kind of holding them accountable for their word. And maybe they did promise, and God doesn't want us to go back on our promises, especially to him. And more than likely, they would have done this in a church, and it would have been a promise to God, I am going to help these people. Sometimes the written word or a text can be two different things. Like we said, it's that attitude or the way things are said. Now, most parents do not want you to do homework all night long, right? They don't just love you being in your room doing your homework. But they don't want you to put it off. And they don't want you to get in trouble for it. Right? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Nathan?
But this I say,
sparingly
will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountiful will also reap bountiful.
All right, bountifully. Right. So this is the principle that works with a whole bunch of different things. Right? Sowing and reaping. That's terminology for some occupation. Farming. Right? A farming occupation, right? So what do you do with what do farmers do? They mend socks, right?
They plant seeds.
So sowing is that you're planting seeds, right? And reaping, you know, Grim Reaper, he has a big old sickle because the sickle is used to the wheat and the harvest, so you harvest the food that was growing. Mm-hmm. I know that was a long way. How many plants does he don't grow? Just a few plants, right? And he'll reap the benefit of those plants, but it's only a few plants. Now, we go look at this. If we show kindness to people, you think kindness is what we'll get back?
Most likely,
right? If we show hate towards people, we're definitely going to get back hate, right? We'll reap that benefit, or I don't know if it's benefit, we'll reap what we sow. Now, it works the same for giving. Now, if we show generosity, rewards will come back to us. Now, we're not really necessarily talking about a dollar. Giving is in a dollar per day. It's more about percentage. It's a little bit different. There's an amount of the percentage, but it's not the same numbers, right? A percentage is based off of what you're re-percentaging off of. So the amount changes between people, right? Even if the percentage is the same. So if, say, I was going to give 10%, it'd be a different amount than if some football athlete gave 10%, right? They would crush me, literally and money-wise, too. So there's a percentage. We're talking about the percentage as far as what you sow and you will get back what you reward. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Stephen, can you read that? If you can see it.
Have notes so we don't fear.
Okay.
So let each one give as he proposes this in his heart, not gradually, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
So here we find out the percentage is based on what? The percentage of giving is based on what?
Purpose.
He had his hand up.
Like giving without wanting more.
It is giving what's wanting back, but that's what. So how much can you figure out how much to give?
As much as you can.
Huh?
As much as you can.
That's a good answer, but on your heart. So now, is how much we should give that percentage. You know, it would be if some of the Corinthians gave nothing. That'd be fine. If they didn't promise and they didn't have, and that's what been put on their heart, that would have been fine. And Paul, I'm sure, giver. Meaning that it's not an obligation, right? It's not a necessity. Now, people have different walks with Jesus, right? Everybody here is on a little bit different path, our section of the path. You know, we're all going to things. In that walk. And if we're not ready, God doesn't push. He doesn't push. And if you hate, if you're going to hate doing this, you're not at that right point. You're not at that right place. Now, you may get there, but you're not there yet. Does that make sense? And so, it's kind of free. I mean, there is... It's one of those things, is the Holy Spirit has to be in you and you have to be following it. You have to listen to what it's saying and what it's doing for you and what it's putting on your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 through 9. Cassia?
And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.
So if we show grace to other people, and that's what giving is grace, God is saying he will repay us with his grace. Right? He will repay us with his grace. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Jesse?
And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly, I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward.
Alright, so we don't think of a cold cup of water as costing a lot, right? It kind of does. I don't know what kind of water you get, the Avion or whatever is kind of water, right? A cold cup of water. Water. For free. You know, just a water. I mean, they don't have to give you a big old ice and everything. But, so it's usually not, we're not talking about now. And that's not what it's about. It's not about... of wanting to give towards others. You know, God will repay us, will reward us. Now, it's in different ways. Maybe it could be material, or it could be spiritual. You know, but we will have some return on our investment. You know, it's not a high-risk investment because we know God backs it up. He guarantees it. And God has everything, right? So he's not going to run out of money. Now, it is kind of strange to, in the same sense, talk about but because I think Zalen mentioned it, is like we're not giving to get a reward, right? That's not the way we should be. That's not should it should not be our attitude to be that way. Yet the Bible tells us more than one about the reward from giving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, Salmon?
Give and it will be given to you. Good measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you.
So again, you know, I mean, this is talking about, you know, you have a cup. by, if I got through, is that you're not looking for the reward. I'm not trying to say that, but it is part of it. You're not looking for the reward, but it's going to happen. You know, that's what it should be in your heart, to get a reward. It should be about that you want to do the right thing. You want to help. However, God loves us so much. He loves us so much. He has so much grace. Grace that never ends. He wants to reward us. He just does. That's Him. He wants to reward us, and that's why we get a reward. In Proverbs 15, verse 17, Elena? So, it is better to eat soup with love than a steak with hate. Now, I really like the taste of steak, right? And I can't imagine how soup is better than steak. Doesn't make any sense, right? Our attitude, it's our attitudes, having grace with others, walking in love towards others, and thinking the best of people. You know, maybe those people out there aren't trying to get me. They aren't trying to take my money. They're not out there to make fun of me. Maybe. Thinking maybe they're just as scared as I am. Maybe they need help just like I do. Maybe I could be that person who helps them. Maybe I need to take that first step to help them. Walking in love is how soup tastes better than steak. Because if we don't walk in love, we're not feeling good. If we're walking in hate, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're still in hate, you're in anguish. You're not in a good place. Even if you're eating a steak, it's like it's not going to be enjoyable because everything around you is hate. But if you walk in love, you're feeling or helping others make us just feel better. It's how we're built. God built us that way. When we give help, we're not throwing the things away. We can't focus on that. That's materialistic. It's like, oh, we're not. You're just throwing it away. It's going for nothing. You're sowing seeds, and you will reap the benefits, and that is something to be very cheerful about. Cassia, can you close this in prayer?